Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome back, everyone. I had a nice break, but I'm glad to be back. As a podcaster and writer, I spend a good amount of my time reading, researching, and, of course, listening to other podcasters. Today, I'm proud to recommend one of them to you. The True Crime Files is a new podcast that takes you, the listener, on a guided tour of a crime and the investigation into it. To tell you more, here's Christine, the mastermind behind it all.
Hi, I'm Christine, and I'd like to introduce you to the True Crime Files podcast, a bi-weekly podcast that focuses on mysterious disappearances and unsolved murders. Every 2 weeks, we'll be releasing an episode that'll help you get to know a case really well without having to invest a lot of your time. Derived from the articles up on the True Crime Files website, you'll find that our show covers a diversity of victims and perspectives. You'll probably also notice that our episodes are narrated by Scott Fuller from the Frozen Truth and Status Pending podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to the True Crime Files today so that you never miss an episode. Thanks so much for listening, being a part of our true crime community, and helping to shine a light on cases that might otherwise be overlooked or underreported.
Thank you, Christine. And now, dear listeners, I think I've kept you waiting long enough. Without any further ado, it's time to make your day a little weirder. Christmas morning is something that's looked forward to by families all over the country. It's a time to gather with family in warm, loving spaces protected from the colder weather that can dominate so many regions during that time of year. The brightly lit rooms are filled with the delightful smells of home-cooked meals and baked goods, made especially for the gathering. Family, both young and old, come together to share their victories, mourn their losses, and to celebrate past traditions. Presents are supposed to be given to one another as an expression of love, wrapped in vibrant colored paper and placed carefully under a beautifully decorated tree. Of course, for just as many families, there's always that one relative that you don't want to see. Maybe they're rude. Maybe they're just obnoxious or snooty, always looking down on everyone else. Or maybe they're unwelcome because they're already dead. In 1937, Luella Shaw was a trusting 14-year-old girl when she became pregnant in rural Wisconsin. Her child was conceived after she was raped by the son of a prominent Wisconsin farmer. Charges were filed, but the son was released on bond pending the investigation. Luella's parents, Willard and Gertrude Shaw, loved their daughter. Regardless of how she got pregnant, they felt the same way about her unborn baby. The couple had 8 children of their own, so it was one more in the house. Along the way, Luella met 19-year-old Henry Meade. Henry fell in love with Luella and asked to marry her. He didn't care that she was pregnant with another man's child. Henry was going to love that baby like it was his own. When he asked Willard permission to marry his daughter, Luella's father was somewhat hesitant. In spite of Henry's insistences that he would be a good husband and father and take care of Luella's baby, Willard was still unsure of the young man. Eventually, however, he relented and gave his permission. The couple seemed to love each other, and maybe things would turn out okay in the end. Henry and Luella lied about their ages to obtain a marriage license. Luella, in spite of having permission from her parents to marry, still had to be 15 years old in order to legally marry in the state of Wisconsin. The two became husband and wife on June 22, 1937. The young couple settled in Vesper, Wisconsin, living in a rundown apartment above a local restaurant. Luella turned 15 on November 4th, and on November 13th, gave birth to her son, Earl Albert Need. Luella loved her baby, as did her parents. Henry felt differently. Shortly after his marriage, Henry began to tell several people that he was going to get rid of the baby, either before or after it was born. His actions proving his words, Gertrude Shaw witnessed Henry choke the newborn on at least two different occasions. Horrified, she ripped her grandson away from his stepfather. Other times, Henry would fill a pan full of water and then hold Earl into it head first. The Wood County, Wisconsin Welfare Department intervened and asked Willard and Gertrude if they could take the baby. Even Luella knew that it was not a good place for Earl to be. In mid-December, she wrote her parents and asked if they could take the baby. The Shaws agreed and took Earl back to their home in Norway Ridge, Wisconsin. A week later, police received a phone call from Henry Need claiming that Earl had been kidnapped. The sheriff, along with a deputy, took the Needs to the Shaw home. Luella said that she was so lonely without Earl that she couldn't even eat. Gertrude, seeing the distress that her daughter was in, agreed to let Earl return with Henry and Luella. A few days later, on Christmas Eve, 1937, Gertrude and Willard were at their home. Close to midnight, Gertrude saw lights in front of one of their windows. Thinking that it was a car, the couple went outside to look. There was no car, only the inky darkness of the chill Wisconsin night. Looking at her husband, Gertrude told him that the lights meant that something was going to happen to their daughter. Willard was not a man who much believed in the supernatural. He knew that his wife was, though, and was content to let her have her beliefs. Still, he had to admit that the lights were odd. The following day, Willard would find out just how prophetic Gertrude's words really were. On December 26, 1937, Wood County Coroner P.E. Wright received a strange phone call. It was Henry Need, calling from the home of a local family. He asked Wright about making arrangements for his baby's burial. Surprised, the coroner asked Henry what had happened. Need told him that Earl had died that morning. When he had woken up, Henry said that he took Earl from his crib and placed him in a handmade baby swing. The device was attached to the ceiling by four separate strands of clothesline tied into place. The swing was suspended 4 feet in the air, with a table placed underneath it. Henry turned his back for a moment, reaching to straighten out the bedding that lined Earl's crib. As he did, he suddenly heard two large thumps from behind him. Almost instantly, he knew what had happened. Turning, he saw Earl on the floor, motionless. A knot holding one of the swing's support strings had unraveled, causing the poor baby to spill out. Earl landed on the table first, and then the floor. Henry could see that Earl was dead. He left and went to his parents' house in a nearby town. He tried calling a local doctor, but was told that the man was currently out of town. Failing at that, Henry went to a local tavern, where he started to discuss the incident with two men that he knew there. The men went back to the apartment with Henry. Seeing what had happened, they took the Needs and their poor dead infant to a local home. From there, Henry had called the coroner, explaining to Wright what had happened. Wright listened and told Henry that he was on his way. While he was sympathetic, Wright couldn't help but feel that there was something suspicious about the young man's story. Trusting to his instincts, Wright contacted the Wood County Sheriff, Henry Becker, before he left. Together, the two men went to meet Henry. When they arrived, Henry told them his story again, then took them back to his apartment. The Need home was filthy. Garbage was piled up in one corner, and spent matches were in little piles all through the apartment. Half-eaten food was left on the kitchen table, and the entire place was covered in clutter. As the sheriff looked around, he noticed that the swing had been taken down. Curious, Becker asked Henry how it had come down. Henry said that he had simply reached up and taken it down. The sheriff was immediately suspicious. Henry Need was just over 5 feet tall, and the ceilings in the apartment were about 8 feet tall. There was simply no way that Henry could have just reached up and untied the swing from where it was secured. While it was, in the broad scheme of things, a small detail, it still caused Sheriff Becker and Coroner Wright to question everything that Henry told them. As they began to delve deeper into their investigation, they began to question more and more, and police began to suspect that something else had happened to Earl on Christmas morning. Coroner Wright's examination of the body revealed that the infant's skull was crushed, and there were scratches on his face and body. Scrapings were taken from underneath Henry's fingernails and sent to be tested for traces of human skin. Henry and Luella were brought to the sheriff's office for questioning. At first, he told them the same things that he had from the beginning, with Luella backing Henry up every time. The more the authorities talked to Henry, however, the more cracks started to show in his story. With the young man's story crumbling around him, Becker decided to keep him at the jail overnight. When Henry woke up the next morning, he asked to see the sheriff. He was ready to tell the truth. Henry confessed that he had killed Earl. Taking the baby in his left hand, he beat him to death with the other. When asked about the scratches, Henry claimed that he might have caused them, but wasn't sure. The forensic tests on the fingernail scrapings would later show the presence of infant epithelial cells. Given Henry's past behavior with Earl and the suspicious story that he gave about the events causing his death, the murder confession probably came as no surprise to Sheriff Becker. However, no one expected his motivation. Henry Need claimed that the ghost of his dead father had driven him to commit murder. Need explained that he was haunted by the ghost of his father, Frank. The spirit would visit his son, constantly berating him. On other occasions, Henry claimed that a white ball made from something he couldn't identify would follow him around. When the authorities asked Luella about it, she claimed that it was all true. Once, she had even been present when the spirit had appeared to her husband. On Christmas morning, the Needs had been woken up by three distinct knocks that came from the bottom of their door. Henry knew immediately what it was. Whenever his father's ghost came, it was always preceded by three knocks. As expected, Frank Need appeared soon after. He said that because Earl wasn't Henry's biological son, he was going to haunt Henry for the rest of his life. At that point, Henry claimed that he blacked out and didn't come to until he had struck Earl for the first time. Compelled by his father's ghost, Earl kept hitting the infant in the head. A horrified Luella tried her best to stop him, but by the time that she was able to, it was already too late. Henry told Becker that he then realized the awful thing that he had done and tried his best to revive the baby by splashing water in his face. Thinking quickly, Henry came up with a story of how Earl had accidentally fallen out of his swing. He explained his plan to Luella and made her go along with it. Luella corroborated the entire statement, adding that she had expected a death on Christmas Eve. She told Becker that the night before, she had felt something hit her legs before rolling off and landing on the floor. When she was younger, she had felt the exact same thing when one of her uncles had passed away. Luella knew that someone was going to die soon, but she had no idea that it would be her Earl. While she was a mother and a wife, Luella was still only 15 years old. Even in the late 1930s, she was thought of as more of a girl than a full-grown woman. Henry Need was adamant that he was the killer and that Luella had nothing to do with it. After their investigation, authorities drew the same conclusion. Luella was released. Her parents came and picked up their devastated daughter. A few days later, the baby was buried in a local cemetery after a quiet service. Henry pled innocent by reason of insanity to the murder of Earl Albert Need. The judge ordered that Henry be remanded to the custody of the State Central Hospital for the Criminally Insane in Waupun, Wisconsin. There, he would be observed and interviewed by professional psychologists to determine his mental state. After the judge had left, Henry's defense attorney had a statement entered into the official court record. It detailed how, when Henry was a child, he had sustained considerable head trauma at different times when he was a child. The first had been after he had been run over by a wagon, and the second was when he was beaten senseless at the hands of his own father. The last was when he had hit his head after falling off of a haystack. After the last incident, Henry would occasionally exhibit a violent temper. Other times, he would inexplicably fall into a coma. Luella, for her part, was done with Henry. She confessed that she was terrified of her husband. She was also afraid that the next time his father visited, he might compel Henry to murder her. On his way out of the courtroom, Henry tearfully embraced his mother, sobbing into her shoulder. After they parted, he fainted halfway down the courthouse stairs and had to be carried by police officers the rest of the way. In March 1938, psychiatrists declared Henry Need to be of a sane and rational mind. He was set to stand trial for the first-degree murder of Earl Need. On his way back to stand trial, he changed his story yet again. This time, Henry claimed that it was Luella who had committed the murder, not him. He said that she had flown into a raging fit that morning and had killed Earl in the midst of it. His story, however, fell on uncaring ears. After already having lied so many times before, no one seemed to believe him now. On March 14th, the day that his trial was to begin, Henry Need's attorney persuaded Henry to plead guilty to second-degree murder in order to avoid a more serious punishment. Maybe a jury would believe the suggestion that childhood head trauma had caused him to see the ghost of his dead father. But after psychologists had given him a clean bill of health, there was a good chance that they might not. Henry replied that he would, even though he was innocent of killing Earl. The judge then asked if he had any reason why he shouldn't go to prison. When Henry didn't answer, the judge asked again. Angrily, Henry told him that he had put this whole situation on himself, and now it was too late to go any other way. Returning to a packed courtroom, Henry Need officially pled guilty to the second-degree murder of his infant stepson and was sentenced to serve 14 to 20 years at the Wappan State Prison. Despite being released 6 years later, Henry Need violated the terms of his parole soon after and was taken back to prison. This pattern would set the standard for the rest of his life. Go to jail, be released, then go back again. The cycle was finally broken with his death in 1982. Luella, despite the trauma of her early teenage years, finally found peace. She happily remarried and had 10 children. Luella and her husband eventually settled in Oregon, where the rest of her life was filled with love and joy. She passed away in 2012 at the age of 90, a beloved mother and grandmother. Christmas is a time for family. For some, it can be a sad and trying time spent with relatives that they don't necessarily like. For others, Christmas is a time of celebration with some of the people that they love the most in the world. In her long life, Luella Shaw experienced both. From the tragedy of a squalid second-story apartment in Wisconsin to several more holidays spent with her loving family, she truly saw great highs and devastating lows. Was Henry Need really visited by the ghost of his dead father? Or was he only haunted by his own vicious and selfish desire to murder his stepson? Did Luella and her parents really experience supernatural premonitions of Earl Albert Need's death? In the end, we'll all have to answer those questions for ourselves. The only thing that we can say for certain is that an innocent life was cruelly snuffed out on a day that it should have been celebrated the most. You've been listening to John Brasher Jr., the Kitchen Table Historian. Please stop over again to listen to more stories of true crime, disasters, the paranormal, and other weird and dark stories from America's heartland. You can find me on Apple iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Blueberry, and wherever else you choose to get your favorite podcasts. If you've enjoyed the story, then please like, subscribe, leave a review, or tell a friend or five about the program. This podcast is written and told by yours truly, with the title music composed and performed by Beau Moonlight. Until next time, remember that no matter how beautiful, peaceful, or downright mundane things seem in the Midwest, there's always someone out there making things just a little weird.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.